A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time! And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series!
I remember running home from school, turning on the TV to the Cubs game, sitting with my dad to watch his heroes.
Welcome to the World Series Dreaming Chicago Cubs Dreamcast, now hanging out with the guys at Obstruct the View. We are not affiliated with the actual Chicago Cubs, but we're just a bunch of fans who love the local nine and enjoy talking baseball and, of course, the 2016 World Series champion Cubs. Hello, this is Ken. With me are Adam and Jeff from Obstructive View. How's everybody doing today?
Little vacation hangover.
Yeah. You need a vacation from your vacation.
From the vacation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think we should probably start this with a shout out to the recently departed. I was telling Adam before we hopped on that we were watching 9 to 5 because I'd never seen it because, you know, Dolly Parton unfortunately just passed. I have seen Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, and that was a lot of fun. I feel like she's been another one. Oh yeah, Steel Magnolias, that was good too. But I had never seen 9 to 5, and that was delightful. Tim Curry recently passed, so I did watch Clue the other day. That's still free on YouTube, by the way, with ads if you guys want to watch it. And it was a one of the first VHSs that I owned when I lived on my own. So, and I think today, unfortunately, Peter Cullen passed. So now I got to watch some Transformers cartoons too. So it's been a rough week for celebrities from our youth.
That wasn't the Optimus Prime from the Transformers movie though, right? I thought that was like Robert Stack.
No, that Robert Stack was Ultra Magnus.
And
Peter Cullen was still Optimus Prime. I believe it's Frank Welker who does Megatron because he's got the raspy voice.
Although Frank Welker, truly a legend.
Yeah, he doesn't have to rasp when he voices Nibbler from Futurama. So he has a normal voice. He just chooses to like rasp it when he's like Dr. Claw or the fly from Chippendale.
Yeah, he's Fred and Scooby-Doo also, but his IMDb is truly legendary just because he voices like every animal in every animated or live-action movie that requires some sort of animal noise voicing.
Yeah, or Muttley. I think he's Muttley from the Laugh Olympics, right? Because he's a Dirk Dastardly's dog.
Well, stay safe, Frank Welker.
Yeah, but rest in peace, Dolly Parton and Tim Curry and Peter Cullen and various other celebrities we might have missed. The Oscar in memoriam next year is going to be like top notch, which kind of sucks, but you know, it's wonderful that they existed in the first place, right?
Indeed.
Yeah, so on to the Cubs, who are not departed yet and are actually still in pretty good position despite a very lackluster West Coast trip, but you know, all West Coast trips are like that. I figure we do a preview of what we might see in September and this homestand coming up leading into September. To talk about the defense now that Dansby Swanson unfortunately got hurt for the first time, I think, in his Cubs tenure. The Brewers and Reds are coming into town. The Brewers are the more important series because technically the Cubs are still mathematically in the hunt for the NL Central crown, albeit very slim now. And maybe we could talk about some rules and perhaps what's been going on with the Dodgers. How's that for a plan, guys?
I love this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it. Let's do it.
I love it.
Let's do it.
As the spring gave away to summer, past the ivy-colored dreams, toward the days that kept us yearning for tomorrows.
2-4 road trip out west in Seattle and Arizona. The Cubs lost both series. Very well could have won both, but weird stuff happened. Are you guys worried?
No, just vaguely annoyed.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. It was a pretty frustrating road trip. I think Zephyr John might be the perfect encapsulation of what the road trip was like, in that he didn't really he hasn't been doing anything wrong. Like, he hasn't had terrible command. He's not walking everyone. You know, the occasional lapse in control that is pretty much normal for him, like nothing out of the ordinary, just some real bad luck. I think he had a home run hit off of him that just had no business going out. A lot of BABIP issues. And yeah, sometimes his stuff working against him, you know, sometimes the outcomes look a lot like, oh crap, we got to stop recording these so late because my brain stops working at 5.
Yeah, same.
Who's the starting pitcher that the Cubs traded for this year who has basically sucked and he's hurt with blisters now?
Edward Cabrera.
Cabrera. Yes. It's looked like him where you're like, oh man, his stuff is amazing. Why are they hitting it? That's what it's been like to watch Zephyr John. And Webb seems to have come back to earth. I don't know if he turned back into a pumpkin or just had a rough stretch, but there have been good things hiding there in the rubble. Like, one of them being that PCA is a damn good competitor. That kid really wants to win, and he's paying attention to everything. Like, occasionally he'll get over aggressive and make a mistake, but he does have a real high IQ. The fact that when he was scrambling around on third base, that he was apparently the only one on the field watching to see the balk that he forced. So much so, like, he saw it so clearly that I know we've seen Pete make a lot of good catches this year, but I think the catch of the year might be Quentin Berry stopping Pete from getting suspended by
Yeah.
catching him on the way to the umpire.
I heard about that on the radio. I didn't watch it, but yeah, everybody was talking about the balk and how basically both Craig and Quentin Berry were trying to keep Pete from getting tossed out. And he had a pretty relatively tame interview afterwards. I feel like he's probably gonna get a fine or something,
Yeah,
but
probably. The
you know, at least he can
line
afford it
that
now.
got him. Yeah. Well, he will be able to afford it better next year when his extension really kicks in. But
He's got some pre-arb money. Does he actually, now that he's been extended, does he even qualify for pre-arb money? Because he's still pre-arbitration for sure. It's just,
no, it's because of the extension he's locked in, I think.
yeah, okay.
So they don't.
So he's not going to get anything, but he did get a signing bonus, so he can pay the fine out of that.
The line that said when he said they're looking for new ways to screw things up every night, I think that probably
That'll get him.
fine. He'll at least get a telegram from the league office. Yeah.
I think I like your assessment that it's just like really bad luck and poor execution in the wrong moments. Literally, the Cubs could have won every single one of those games in the West, and they lost four of them. It's just one of those things. Like I see a lot of pitches. The one to Randy Arozarena. So the really cool tidbit is how Pete Crow Armstrong and Randy Arozarena are now the only guys to hit a leadoff home run, a walk-off home run, and then another leadoff home run in like a two-game span or something like that, right? So that was unfortunate that Randy's happened to us. But
Yeah.
the walk-off that he hit against Webb, I want to say he got away with one slider and then he threw the same slider again and that got destroyed, right? So
Yeah, there's no bad luck when it comes to a hanging slider over the plate. Like, that's going out.
And I don't think he meant to do that, but it's kind of like, Adam and I go back and forth on this all the time. Like, there's some control from the pitcher, but honestly, once it leaves the pitcher's hand, how much control does he actually have? Like, there's wind, there's humidity, there's the fact that you're in Seattle or Arizona, right? So, there's only so much you can hang on Webb, and especially after he basically went a month without being scored on, and suddenly the regression hammer just dropped down on him like Mjolnir from the heavens, right? But yeah, that was like super disappointing, because there was those two games they could have absolutely won. The Zephyrhyan game, I wasn't even worried about. Like, at that point, because the Cubs didn't score their man for man, you kind of assumed that they were going to lose anyway. But the couple blown saves that Webb had were kind of bad. But I feel like they're going to figure it out, especially since, he basically hasn't pitched for 2 days by the time they start on Friday, right? So maybe the rest will help. And I've seen a lot of, good performances, good length out of the bullpen over the West Coast trip that basically saved a lot of them. So maybe Craig is still playing the long game, whether he wanted to actually do that or not. And it's good to know that the offense still works, even though they were shut down on the getaway game.
Yeah, the going back and forth between scoring almost 20 and not scoring.
That's a pendulum swing for sure. I want to say that at most of the time they'll be somewhere in the middle. I haven't gotten the numbers in front of me, but I feel like they're scoring at least 4 or 5 runs a game, on average, and that's kind of what you want. And I don't know, like the Cubs for the longest time, and even after Jameson Taillon was released, they had led. I feel like they've led the majors in home runs given up, and that's I don't know if that's a fluke or if that's almost by design, because
The
they just
Nationals have
chucks.
the beat, but they're having a historically awful pitching season.
Yeah, because I feel like they're just chucking so many pitches down the middle, and I don't know that they have the velocity or the stuff to keep doing that and get away with it, but I also kind of understand it
Oh, I stand
because.
corrected. I was looking at the wrong column. You are correct. The Cubs have given up the most runs. Home
Whoops.
runs.
Well, and anyway, like the point is, like, if you have a historically elite defense behind you, why not let them hit it? It get put into play, but you also want it on the ground, and every now and then you wonder like why the ground ball pitchers are also giving up home runs, but they're actually getting their ground balls too. I feel like Dave Peterson and Clay Holmes are getting the ground balls that you want. And it's kind of unfortunate right now that Dansby Swanson is hurt, because now the infield defense has taken like a slight hit, because there were a lot of double plays that weren't turned that I feel like could have been turned if Dansby and Nico were up the middle instead of Nico and your second baseman of the day.
Yeah, Dansby being out hurts because there's no question. I mean, we've gone on and on about how defense is leading the way for this team. It's the most consistent thing they bring to the table, and the defense has been elite really all over the field. And yeah, Dansby being out brings down two defensive positions. And I like that they have tried to upgrade the defense, bringing up a defensive replacement at second. But the thing about having an elite shortstop is it's, if not the most, one of the most difficult positions to play. So when you go from an elite shortstop to an average shortstop, that's a serious drop in your overall coverage. And yeah, it does. You start to see the difference that makes for the pitching staff. It's frustrating. You hope that Dansby is fine for the postseason, and that will make things look a lot better. But as far as the regular season goes, holding on to the number one wild card position and mounting any type of comeback against the Brewers, he won't be in the lineup for that, and it won't be the same defense. You know, it won't be that gold glove covering the entire diamond defense, and it's hard for this team to win. They still can, you know, if the offense shows up, they definitely still can be a good team, but the most consistent dominant force that they have is no longer as dominant, and that is absolutely going to make a difference. They're coming up on a stretch where 7 out of 10 games are against the Brewers. And after that stretch, it will be decided whether they are still in the hunt for the division or not. Like that is without question their last chance at catching them. And they don't have to have caught them by then, but if they aren't within a game or two, if they don't absolutely trounce the Brewers with like winning all seven or going 6-1, even if you go 5-2, how many games do you gain in the standings?
Yeah, it's just 3 games. They're
Yeah.
down by about 7 now, I think.
They are down by 7 and they have those 7 games. Yeah. I think they need to close, like, well, after they're done with the Brewers, they need to be within 2 or 3 games or else it's over. Because I was looking at the odds right now, like, they have very good odds to make the playoffs in any capacity, but it's essentially 5.7% to win the division. That's not very good. And we kind of already knew that. I think last time we were on the pod, like you said, we didn't have to go 7-0. At this point, like if they do not go 7-0, it's going to be extremely difficult to catch the Brewers. And you know, they what is it? They have to go like 5-2 at minimum to even get the tiebreaker.
I haven't looked.
Yeah,
Sounds right.
you're the right tiebreaker expert here. I'd just be asking you.
No, they just need to be like 7-6 against the Brewers. So right now they got swept at home, but they won like 2-1 at Milwaukee, so that's 2-4, right? So that is 5-2. That's right. So they need to win the series at home, and they need to win the series in Milwaukee, and that's going to be tough. And you know, we already just talked about the slightly downgraded defense and the fact that the Milwaukee Brewers are based on BABIP devil magic. So they put the ball in play. They don't walk a lot. I'm sorry, they do walk. They don't strike out a lot because they know the zone very well. And we also have the kind of pitching staff that doesn't strike out a lot of people anyway, right? So it's going to be a very difficult BABIP fueled series, I feel like.
I really think they have to just absolutely crush the ball. It maybe not home runs, but just be annoying pests and score like crazy if they're going to win. Like they might not be able to, yeah, they might not be able to go crazy with home runs, but if they're just pests, they work the count and they score a lot, that's what it's going to take to make it happen.
I want to say one of the Cubs prospects had was saying that he had Mizorowski on the traject machine, and he was just like facing Mizorowski, and he's not even on the roster. But I feel like it would be a good idea for all of them to give that a try, because I think the last time the Brewers and Cubs played, Seiya was able to take Mizorowski deep, and so he's not invincible. Invincible. He can be beat. It's just very, very difficult because it's like his ERA is still under 2, and he's got like a bajillion home run or strikeouts, and for whatever reason, that arm's staying attached even though he throws more 104 mile per hour pitches than like anyone in history. It doesn't make sense. Like he's on. You guys ever see the Hong Kong movies, Shaolin Soccer?
No.
it's pretty funny. It's by
Wow.
Stephen Chow. He's a great Hong Kong comedy legend. Anyway, the evil soccer team has steroids, and I feel like he's got those steroids. But I can't prove it. And just like I can't prove that they're cheating somehow. But it's just like a feeling in your gut. Like when that much devil magic happens, something is amiss. But maybe they're just that good and they knew how to maximize the roster, because baseball is weird like that.
Yeah, like I just want to say, some people put a priority on being a good sport and basing all of your judgments on scientifically proven, rational, fact-driven arguments. But I don't see why we have to do that. It feels like they're cheating, so I'm going to say they're cheating. They're a bunch of cheaters. I know it. They're not that good. Screw them. See how good that feels? Well, maybe you can't, but repeat, rewind and repeat what I just said. It feels good, and I feel better. So you know what? Screw it. No one said they don't call it being a fan because you're smart about everything. They call it being a fan because you're fanatic. So here I am. Screw those guys and their cheating, evil ways.
So I think the best news for the Cubs is that they do hold the tiebreakers against like most of the teams that are chasing them. So they hold the tiebreaker against the Phillies. They definitely hold the tiebreaker against the Padres, and they did win the tiebreaker against the Diamondbacks, having won at least that one game in Arizona. So now you can give an extra half game to all of them. So they're essentially like 2.5 up on Phillies. And the thing that with the Phillies is that because they're the second wild card and the Cubs are the first, if the season ended today, they would be playing the Philadelphia Phillies, who are red, stinking hot right now. And you don't know what's going to happen in the next month or so because, yes, there is another like 30 odd games. Actually, am I doing that math right? No, 28 games left for them to play. So anything can happen in that time, right? But yeah, it's like at the point where you start score watching to make sure, one, the Cubs stay in the top wild card, two, are able to overtake the Milwaukee Brewers if at all possible, and just try to keep that home series in the first round, whether it's in the DS or the wild card series.
A playoff series against the Phillies would be kind of crazy. Two of the older franchises in all of baseball, they've never faced each other in the postseason.
Wait, for real?
Yeah. I think that's true, right?
Wow.
Because for the longest time, they weren't. It was basically you win the pennant or you don't play in the postseason, right?
Yeah,
And
like
you
them.
know how the Cubs were.
Anybody who was any fellow National League team who was in the league prior to the divisional era.
mean, the Phillies were a terrible team for a long time before the late 90s or mid 90s, I think.
And
Whenever Schilling was on the team.
we don't talk a lot about it on this podcast, but the Cubs were too. So there was
Yeah, yeah,
a stretch
yeah,
where
yeah.
all of a sudden
Similarly terrible. Sorry, I should put it in context.
Yeah, 2008 would have been the only chance before this year. But the problem was, of course, Dempster in 2008, right? And we won't talk about that.
It's the last 20 years that makes it more surprising because
Right.
both teams have been fairly decent a lot of times, and especially with the wild card round, there's been a lot of opportunities. But yeah, as much as I don't necessarily want the Cubs to draw the Phillies in the opening round, that would be pretty cool.
But also, if the Cubs are going to go anywhere, they got to start hitting some of these so-called good pitchers anyway. So,
Yeah,
you start a new series, anything can happen. Throw out all those numbers, forget about the predictions. Yes, it's going to be hard, of course. They're a good team, right? But it's baseball, and as everybody says, once you're in the playoffs, it's just a crapshoot. And it might be like a slightly better crapshoot for the Cubs if they're at home. And that's why I think it's so important for them to maintain that wild card one position at until such time as they decide, or the Brewers just like get hit by an asteroid or something.
And the Cubs have had good starting pitching. The last three starts were basically all amazing on their own and collectively super impressive and encouraging.
Yeah, I really like that. You guys liked when Soto was having trouble and Craig Council was just like, "No, you're done, two innings done." And then they came back and started that streak that I think you yelled at me about that the other day, and I apologize because yeah,
No, I've done the same thing
that wasn't
too.
me. I'm just a I'm not the messenger, right? But
Yeah. I had a similar instance. I can't remember what it was, but where I said, oh, the Cubs have gone this long doing something, and then it triggered the
yeah,
terrible comeback.
it was probably the Road Series record because they have won like 8 or 9 Road Series in a row.
It was before that. It was a little while ago. But I mean, I even had started the topic of what are the Cubs going to do with all these, when all their pitchers get healthy at the beginning of the year. So I can't judge anyone. I just, we got to call each other in to uphold the
But
rules.
it's good that you mentioned the pitchers because it is because of the pitching influx, even though, every now and then we're like just like, why isn't Clay Holmes getting a ground ball? He's actually getting a lot of ground balls. It's just like every now and then when he gives a liner or a fly out, it's just like really surprising because he's supposed to be a ground ball pitcher. But ground ball pitchers don't always give up just ground balls, right? But Gausman has been good aside from those two clunkers. Holmes has been like figuring it out. Boyd was weird for a while. Like he had that one game where he gave up like 3 home runs to that one rookie who basically hasn't done anything since. So it makes you think like,
Oh, I'm
okay,
so
is there
mad about
now, is there now something wrong with the coaching or the pitch calling or the execution? Like, what's wrong with Pitch Lab? Is their algorithm broken? What's going on? But
it. Yeah, it's
I
just no,
guess,
that's a bad matchup. That is a that he should not be pitching to that guy anymore. And it's like a sigh of relief in a couple directions. like, okay, not everybody else is such a bad matchup for Boyd, and the Cardinals don't have someone who's going to tear through every single pitcher out there.
The offense I'm not too worried about. I feel like they were basically what we thought they could be at the beginning of the year, where you had such a diversity in the lineup, like everybody's hitting it slightly differently. You can't match up everybody the same like you could with the previous core in the 2015 through 18 window, right? But everybody has a little slightly different skill set, and you still have power up and down the lineup. And you also have contact ability. So that's what we're seeing is like people who are able to gauge the zone, get on base, and to every now and then hit with power. And it's kind of interesting too, like because people were poo-pooing Ian Happ for a while because he's been a slump and now he's hit a bunch of home runs. And it turns out that many of the home runs that Ian Happ hits are tying or go-ahead home runs. And he's been doing that quite a bit throughout his career. I think the number I saw was like 63 of his almost 200 career home runs are of those varieties where he either ties the game or gets the team ahead. And so that's really cool. Bregman's heated up. And that's good too, because at the same time as they're heating up, like guys like Nico or Bush are kind of slumping a little bit. Say is slumping a little bit, but it's kind of nice now that the slumps aren't happening at the same time. There's like Jeff's a math major, sine and cosine are opposite functions. So you have a sine wave versus a cosine wave, and they're
Not to
peaking
get
and
off on
ebbing.
a
It's
tangent here, but
nice. All
sorry.
right.
That was a very hyperbolic sign, something. Oh, I got nothing.
But I feel like the team's in good shape. I hope that they can take care of the Reds this weekend and then be in good shape against Brewers coming up. And then we'll see what happens. I think yeah, the schedule suggests that, you know, again, it's Reds and Brewers at home, and then they have to go on a road trip to Miami, and then they're back to the Brewers. And Miami's going to be tough too, because Miami's on the outside looking in, but they aren't actually that far away. They're 4 games behind the Padres for that final spot. So it is mathematically feasible that they could get into the playoffs. It's just a little harder for them, right? But they'll still be motivated. So there are no gimmies in this final month. Like, everybody's going to be gunning for the Cubs.
Well, here's a question on that though. Of the teams currently in playoff position, if the season were to end today, who do you see falling off? You know, who do you see falling behind of, you know, it's the Milwaukee, Dodgers, Braves, Cubs, Phillies, San Diego, and yeah. Between them, it's San Diego off to Arizona's 1 game behind the Padres. Do you see anybody who's currently slated to be in the playoffs falling back?
It is conceivable that one of Atlanta or Philly, especially since Philly is so red hot right now, and I feel like they play Atlanta for another 2 series, like they could leapfrog Atlanta. And Atlanta, as far as I can tell, they did sweep the Dodgers, right? So the Dodgers could turn out to be the number 3 seed rather than having the bye, because they're only a game up on Atlanta right now for that bye. So that's the fall off. They have such a big lead in the NL West that I feel like they won't lose the division, but they could fall to the wild card round, that just like last year. The other ones, I'm not entirely sure the Padres are bad enough to fall out at this point. I think the fear that many Cubs fans have is that because they had a bad West Coast trip, which, you know, every team goes through that, they might fall out of the top wild card or even out of the wild card completely. But they have a cushion, and that's good. That's better than not having one. So that would be the two that I would think, honestly, is Dodgers fall out of the bye, and the Cubs, if they're not too careful, could fall out of the contention. And I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, the D-backs could catch the Padres, but that's about it as far as playoff team possibilities go. It's pretty locked in.
I just feel like Arizona has bad mojo. I mean, even with them winning those last 2 games of the series against the Cubs, my gut is telling me they don't clear that hurdle.
Like, San Diego has decent relief pitching. I'm just not entirely sure about their rotation or their offense at this time. Philly has a top-heavy lineup and really, really good rotational pitching. Cubs, I guess you could say, are the most well-rounded team. The thing is, like, how confident do you feel in the pitching right now? I'd say, given the way the rotation has fared over the past week or so, I feel fairly confident with them. Just the relief pitching has to also show up, because you need to win those games late when you have a lead, right? And that's what the Cavs couldn't do. They couldn't close out those wins.
Well, yeah, and
But
the
that's
classic
also,
example of that was, you know, when Palencia faltered, he kind of lost his bearings after he hit that guy in the helmet. And
But the
so,
hits were like, it was an excuse me check swing double, right? And
yeah,
then
there was
a
nothing
bloop.
really bad, just a shaky outing for sure. And Webb came in and bailed him out, and then could not get, you know, there was no one to bail him out. And it was like, oh, well, at least Palencia's back. And then it was like, oh, I'm not sure that Palencia's back. So then you kind of had in the back of your mind, well, maybe Jeff's prediction of Ben Brown assuming the closer's role could come to fruition. And that, man,
Yeah,
I don't
that's
know
a
what
pain in the
story
neck.
after that. You have been banned from obstructed view. No, I'll take the blame for this because I had basically written off Palencia by assuming that he was done for the year, and that just got transferred to Ben Brown apparently. So,
Yeah,
karmic justice is a bitch.
the injury mojo. I think when Everett Cabrera comes back, he's supposed to be in the bullpen. Like, I don't think they flat out committed to it, but it feels pretty certain that if he does pitch again, it'll be at as a bullpen arm, and maybe a couple more oomphs out of that fastball would
Yeah,
help him.
it seems like such an obvious solution for at least a temporary fix. If you're getting blisters in the third inning, don't pitch 3 innings. And yeah,
Or tea on your hands or something. I don't know.
yeah. Thank you, Moises. And if he could just narrow it down to just go with 2 pitches, go with and yeah, if you're cranking it up a notch because you're only pitching an inning or two, then your changeup can be riding in at 98. Maybe your fastball is at 102. I don't know how that'll work, but just go with 2 pitches and
Max effort.
yeah, pick the ones that don't give you blisters and just let it rip.
And
Because that would be
I
pretty
think
fun.
Shelby Miller is throwing and doing pretty well in his rehab. So that's a guy already in the organization. He doesn't have to be called up like before September 1st. He's basically eligible for the playoffs if they think he's useful. Same with Justin Steele. I don't know that he has enough time to come all the way back, but he's at least pitching off a mound and doing like live BP, I think. So there are options, and it just sucks that Ben Brown was having such a good year and then the neck thing popped up again. I don't know what's up with that. It's just so weird. I feel like the doctors don't know either, and since they're the right kind of doctors, and I'm not, I'll defer to them, but yeah, it's just one of those things that just doesn't make sense and can only happen to the Cubs, it seems.
Yeah. But by the way, nice Dolly Parton tribute by bringing up Shelby, Steel Magnolias. If you know, you know.
At some point you hope that even with the bad pitching, the Cubs will still win every game 9-5, right?
Ooh, dump, 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 dump. Yeah.
You know, she was nominated for an Oscar for that song. Didn't win. I think the song from Arthur won. I should look that up. But
Did he get caught between the moon and New York City? Is that the
that one. I don't know if that was 80 or 81, but that song for sure won. And I don't know
In
if.
retrospect, what a travesty. Just makes no sense.
Well, Dolly did, win the humanitarian award. I feel like it was last year or the year before because she does a lot. So it's just
Yeah.
like I think we all kind of knew about the Imagination Library, where she sends like every kid a free book, from for their first 5 years of their life every month,
Yeah, and she
and.
helped cure COVID, big
Well,
deal.
sort of. There was the
Like,
other
man, I
thing,
warned her.
because
Sorry.
she wrote "I Will Always Love You," right? And then Whitney like destroyed that song in the best possible way, and so they only got royalties. But then she took all those royalties and reinvested in the black neighborhoods, and that I thought was really cool. I did not know that. It's a really cool thing for rich people to give back in just the best way. Do you guys want to do rules first, or do you want to talk more about rich people? Because we can segue to the Dodgers little thing
I don't
too.
know anything about the Dodgers. What's going on with that? Like corruption, something weird, bad.
There was some kind of fraud, like. Jeff
Oh.
Passan had a video that I share with you guys. It's like an hour long, but essentially, the too long didn't read part is there's probably fraud in there. And And then Brett at Bleacher Nation wrote it up, and maybe fraud could have implications for the CBA. But the more pertinent part of the CBA that deals with games on the field is like, what are you going to do about certain things like, check swing calls and ABS challenges and denying them and box like Pete had to deal with the other day? Because a lot of things should be reviewable. Like pitches are now reviewable, so that's good. But there are other things like, there's a foul ball to the outfield, like behind the umpire, is reviewable, but a foul ball in front of the umpire is not. And there's like, do you guys know about hockey's challenge rule where they let the play continue and then the coach can issue a challenge if the puck was offside to disallow a
It's like
goal?
playing advantage, basically.
Yeah. Or they do that in soccer too, right? Because sometimes if and they'll let the t get
Yeah,
like
there's
a
like a foul, they let it play till the possession changes or something like that.
exactly, yeah. Like they'll delay calling the offside if it's that close, and they'll let the play continue. But if it was offside, they have video after review or something. So there is a potential for doing something like that, like let the play unfold. And if the play on the field is reversed, then do you do a no pitch? Do you put everybody back at their base? Do you like do what they do on pitches to or balls in play to the outfield where they put a guy on second, or if it's very apparent that he's going to score, you let him go all the way, that kind of thing. And I
Yeah,
think that's the argument in baseball is like, where are you supposed to put the runners if a call is reversed? And I think that's part of it. But balks and ABS challenges, those are different. Those are essentially dead balls, dead ball fouls, right? So, like, if an ABS challenge, like the lady on Close Call Sports was doing like studies on all the denials of ABS challenges, and for the most part, there's not enough time for you to process that someone in the clubhouse is yelling at you if you're going to try to challenge within 2 seconds. Like, just because someone in the dugout is yelling doesn't mean you can automatically deny that challenge. And I think that's why a lot of those ejections are happening. And then the balk that happened the other day in the getaway game in Arizona, that could definitely have been reviewed, but for whatever reason, it's not. So I think that's
in box
things that's
game,
got to be.
or
As
you mean
far
not
as I
to
know,
change
they
the rule?
can't.
Okay.
Yeah, so
Okay. I mean,
there's a graphic.
you could ask other umpires to see if they saw it, but there's no actual video review for
Yeah.
them, basically.
And I think that's part of the reason why Pete was so pissed, because like, yeah, the home plate umpire is behind two dudes, right? Because there's a batter and the catcher, and he has to figure it out. And also the pivot foot of the pitcher might be obscured
I
from
feel like it's
review.
usually the base umps that call box, not the home plate
Yeah.
umpire.
Yeah, it should be first base or third base, and both of those guys missed it. And it was like, if Pete could see it, and you feel like every umpire, everybody is looking at the pitcher to deliver the ball because they have to make sure that the ball is delivered before they take their first steps on defense or take their shuffles or whatever. So everybody's looking at the pitcher, including the umpires. How did they miss it? And if they're going to miss it, you should be able to review it, right? But
Yeah, I
it's
keep.
not.
I think the most likely reason why it's currently not reviewable is because it's an umpire judgment call, and you're looking at it, and it's not typically like this is a different instance, but it's not typically something where you break it down by video. It's like you see it happening, and you know, am I going to call this or am I not? And because those calls where it's an umpire's in the umpire's judgment, did it violate this rule or not? They don't usually defer to review. Not saying that's what should be the case, but if it just comes down to, well, in this umpire's opinion, it's a balk, and in his opinion, it's not, because it's the rule is essentially defined by the umpire's call. Like it's a jurisdiction Supreme Court issue where the umpire who's calling it has full authority and you can't go above him. And I think that's probably what, as an umpiring crew, they don't want to transgress against, is one umpire just overruling another umpire because my opinion's more important than yours outside of the standard configuration of and hierarchy of I'm the crew chief, so I make the final call type of a thing. But all that said, sometimes it isn't a matter of, oh, does this technically meet my standard? And it's just, don't you see he's not on the pitching rubber while he's delivering this throw to home plate? So that is by definition a balk. And as far as why it didn't get caught, tell me if I'm wrong, but does it depend? Does the third base umpire more frequently or more traditionally call balks if, like, be the one to call a balk if the pitcher's left-handed, and if they're right-handed, then it's the first base umpire? Like, is there a traditional setup like that?
I feel like it's usually the first base ump, but I think that's just because most base runner balk situations are with a runner on first, not a runner on third.
Yeah, and typically the balk happens when it's a lefty.
But there are situations where the home plate umpire himself will call the buck
Yes.
because you can tell for sure whether there's a start stop.
With
And what
like
happened.
motion, hesitation, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And
The only other thing I could think of is like the handedness of the batter, but I think Seiya was the one at the plate when Pete was at third, right? So that
Yeah.
the first base umpire would have been charged with making sure he's on top of a check swing call on appeal. And then the third base umpire would have been the one looking at the runner or at the
Exactly.
pitcher,
And
right?
this is my conjecture, is that if it was most likely the third base umpire's call, he may have been getting into position for a potential, oh, they might throw over here to third, or there might be a play. So he might have been, his attention might have been directed to Pete going back and forth in, along the baseline, and maybe he's coming back here for a throw. So he's looking at that rather than paying attention to the balk call. And so
Yeah, so you're
that's
saying
my
Pete's
guess.
chaos might
Yeah,
have
I think
bilked him out of a call.
I
Yeah,
think
but the guy,
the
you
chaos he was
think.
creating may have directed people's attention to the point where he was in fact the only one looking.
Yeah, that could be the case. And in that case, you have four umps and there was nobody at second base and the second base umpire is behind the bag. He can see the feet. So I don't know, man.
If I had been the crew chief, I would have said to Pete, sorry, man, you're so distracting and we can't take our eyes off you. So we didn't see. And the rules prevent us from going back and look at it. It's you're a lot of fun to watch. My bad. I got absorbed in it. We have no idea. And we take your word for it,
I
but
think
we
that's
don't trust
fair.
you.
They mea culpa did after the game, and Pete wasn't having any of it, which is justifiable because, but at the same time, like there's no reason to assume that they would have won if Pete had scored on the buck, right? The thing I shared with you was the graphic that I was talking about, where these are subjective calls. Like you can't replay obstruction or interference. No check swings yet until they implement the 45-degree thing that they're testing right now in the minors. And balk is the third bullet point. You can't review a balk. So that kind of sucks. This might be a little older because Balls and Strikes are on it, but I'm pretty sure it's essentially the same list, minus the Balls and Strikes because of ABS. But yeah, it's like maybe you should consider doing these as reviews because they're essentially dead ball plays.
Yeah, I think Box could easily be on there. For all the reasons I said, I suspect that they won't do that. Like, this is one of the rare instances where it does come down to, no, he
The problem is that like there are some Bucks that obviously are boxed by the rules, and there are some that are judgment calls, and
exactly.
like how do you split that up?
Yeah. Yeah, and the foul balls, I can't tell you why I don't mind. Like, I like that they don't review fair foul balls on the infield. I don't have a good reason for it. It makes sense to me with the whole, like, I don't like the go by. Well, what would have happened? You know, how do we reassess this? I'm not a fan of that, so I don't mind too much about that stuff. And just looking at the list, I mean, there are so many different things you could challenge, and challenges take a long time. And I'm all for speeding the game along. Like, I really like the changes they've made that speed the game along. Now that I actually care about time and stuff as an adult. As a kid, I was like, who cares?
Get all the time in the world.
Yeah. All the people who hate the Manfred Mann rule, I'm like, nah, man, screw it. Let's get.
The manager, I love it so much. It's great.
Not
Yeah.
in the playoffs, though. The first year the Manfred Mann came out, there was an 18 inning game in the postseason. And even last year, I feel like one of the games between the Dodgers and the Blue Jays went a really, really long time. I just forget exactly how many innings, but it was a lot.
Yeah,
So,
I'd be fine with having it in the playoffs too.
yeah. But it's kind of like how, you do the hockey, right? You do the 4-on-4 or 3-on-3 overtime, then you do shootouts in the regular season. But in the playoffs, it's just like there is no tomorrow. Let's just play. But I feel like we should talk about the Dodgers fraud at some other point when we're more lucid and awake, and maybe more towards the off season. But the one thing we can talk about is the big swap in the off season was Alex Bregman for Kyle Tucker. Have you guys kind of taken a notice at how poorly our former Cub is doing in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I think that swap's worked out okay.
Yeah, for the Cubs. But
Well, the
yeah,
other thing too
it's
is like I think that he's specifically doing poorly in Los Angeles. Like he's been fine on the road. It's just specifically at Dodger Stadium, he just hits terribly. Like, I would choose to grind my axe and say this is just due to how loud the environment is, and maybe he's just not responding well to that. And if they would just freaking turn the volume down, then maybe he would play better. But and then all of
maybe he
us would
needs
also be
earplugs.
happier.
Yeah, I know there are a lot of theories as to why Cubs fans are so happy about him not having a good year. I know he got traded. He never was a part of a real part of the decision to become a Cub in the first place. I never had any super, I don't think I did. I guess we could go back and listen and find out. But I don't think illusions that he was gonna stick around for longer than a year. And I didn't like the lack of hustle when he was going poorly. But I think it just came down to the Dodgers. Like, I'm more happy about his struggles as it relates to the Dodgers. Like, I'm happy for the Dodgers getting a player who's having a down year. That's
Well, at
what I
least he's
love about
getting paid. We always want the player to get paid.
it. Yeah, I want players to get paid, but man, it was for the way he ended things with the Cubs, it was a direct flip-flop. Like Bregman's second half has been what Tucker's first half was last year, and Bregman's first half is what Kyle Tucker's been the whole year. So that's kind of fun to see. And it's as it, yeah, maybe Bregman replaced what Tucker provided to the Cubs offensively and, offensively and defensively, both good defenders. When Tucker was here, he was a good defender. But Michael Conforto has replaced what Tucker has done this year.
Yeah, big
Defender.
apology,
Yep.
season-long apologies to Michael Conforto, as I'm pretty sure I wanted him like off the team after the first weekend. Yeah, you kind of can't do that. So that's the fan, meatball fan in me, saying mea culpa as well.
Yeah, well, and me as well, and what I was saying about Bregman, being that he replaced Justin Turner on the lineup, he is definitely more than made up for the slow start with what he's done since the All-Star break. And yeah, that's just another, it's just another great thing to see. Anytime if the Cubs up and down the lineup all just hit the back of their baseball card over an 8-game stretch, they're going to score 15 runs a game. It's
Right, speaking of Cubs stats, I've got a fun guessing game for you. So obviously PCA is leading the league in WAR, but guess how big the lead is over like the next biggest National League player on Fangraphs WAR?
Oh, so it's Fangraphs. I am going to say 1.5, and that's adding both Shohei's
Yeah,
pitching
forget
and.
just for player stuff. Don't include Ohtani's hitting or pitching.
The second one might be like a nat or something. I'd say 1.5 to 2 WAR clearance for
It
Pete.
is a 4-WAR lead over Otto Lopez.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Over who? An F4?
Otto
Just
Lopez,
batters?
I think a shortstop for Miami.
Oh, wow.
I didn't expect Otto Lopez. I thought it would be someone else, like
Yeah,
even
the next people
Bregman.
are like Weatherholt, Carroll, Ellie De La Cruz, Bryce Turang.
Because guys like Bregman and Dansby are almost at like 3.5-4 WAR, right? On
Yeah, they're at
Fangraphs.
3.7 and 3.6 for
Yeah.
Saya and Bregman.
That's crazy.
Because Dansby's WAR is like defense fueled, and I know a lot of people are freaking out about defense being overrated in WAR, but like we're seeing the results of it now, like. You remove a Dansby Swanson, the defense
Yeah,
takes a
even
look. Tiny little,
just going from a great shortstop to a good shortstop, man, you could feel the difference.
yeah. So come back soon, Dansby.
But not too soon.
No.
Right.
Can't
Yeah.
re-kill that oblique, but you know he's pushing it as best as he can without re-injuring himself.
Yeah. I know I had said at one point that we aren't taking enough time to talk about how fun it is to watch Pete, but damn, it's fun to
Oh,
watch
so fun.
play. He's good, man. He's good, and he has been he a light on defensive highlights recently, but it's I know there are so many catches he has where it doesn't even look like an impressive catch because his jumps are so good. I was hopeful, and maybe I missed them. I'm sure I didn't catch all his highlights over the last couple weeks because I have been back and forth. The dog has been very desirous of going on walks during Cubs games lately.
That's a silly little dog, but you gotta love him. I feel like Pete hasn't had a lot of those five-star opportunities lately, but I also haven't been able to watch. It's mostly been radio and then watching the highlights on MLB.TV later. As tangential to what you just said, like he makes everything look so easy that even the hard catches where you only have like a 5% chance of catching the ball, sometimes he gets there standing up. He's got like a precognition or radar or something. Like he just know like have we talked about how Dennis Rodman used to like just bounce balls off the rim just to so he knows the angles a ball is gonna go so that he becomes like the master rebounder that got him into the Hall of Fame. It's sort of like that. I feel like Pete just studies angles and has so many reps. Not just on the field, but in his mind. Like he knows just from the angle of the swing and the pitch being delivered and blah 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 that the ball is gonna be here. And so I can make my first step in a certain direction. Right. So it's just really impressive what he's been able to do.
If I could interview him, that'd be something I'd ask, is how much work do you put into your ability to read the baseball? There's got to be an element to it that even he can't explain, but I'd love to know how much of it he's like, how much is he studying the hitters? How much is he looking at their tape and knowing, the difference between their good swings and their bad swings? All the data that he could possibly absorb, I want to know how much of that is calculated, how much is just him just being on the field way too much. I don't know, but I'm very curious.
Well, if the Cubs convention wasn't pre-canceled next year, like we could probably have like done the reverse of the three kids in a trench coat in the R-rated movie and asked them during the kids session.
Is it
Or
pre-canceled?
I think they're pre-canceling it due to the potential walkout.
Oh,
So
and it would probably be like a violation of if there is a
yeah,
work.
they can't have any contact with the team.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the interesting thing is that the minor leaguers are on a different contract under the same umbrella, so they can keep playing, but the major leaguers can't. So anybody who's even touching a 40-man roster can't play, I think. It's very strange times, but there's enough Dodgers adjacent shenanigans going on, and the fact that the Brewers and Rays are still doing so well that there's probably arguments against the salary cap. And the MLB actually released a new set of proposals today for like transactions and roster things that I guess we can look at next time as well. We'll see what the e-player site says about it. But yeah, I think we'll just have to see what happens for the rest of August and into September because this is the weekend series that will end August, and then the Brewers come into town on Monday for four, and then the Cubs are on the road. Then they'll be done with the Brewers until the playoffs, and hopefully they'll be a lot better this time around for the Cubs. It's really rough to always have to be looking up at the standings against a team that, honestly, this particular team and franchise and the entire organization should be able to beat the pants off of, but baseball is just a weird one, man.
The beauty and the history in this cathedral, the sky so blue against the grass so green, like time stood still forever.
Yeah, well, thanks you guys for joining me this end of August, almost end of season preview. I think next week is going to be Labor Day, so we should probably enjoy ourselves rather than doing a pod. But let's come back after the Brewers series are done, and then we'll do another end of season pod because the end of the season they'll be against the Red Sox, who are actually doing pretty well. Like it's kind of surprising, like how many teams have those big long, streaks. Phrasing.
So we're just done with phrasing, right?
And the Cubs have had two of them, and then a long losing streak. We hope not to see any more long losing streaks, but if they were going to go on a streak, September is the right time because you want to enter the playoffs feeling confident and really hot, right? So let's see if that happens. You can find us at obstructiveview.net, and our theme song is by Rich Deanna. Thanks to Randall Sanders for pulling the final out call from the 2016 World Series. The next game I'll be at will be against the Pirates for Sammy Sosa bobblehead day. And in the meantime, let's hope the Cubs figure out all their tiny little issues and fire on all cylinders by the time October rolls around.
Amen.
Sounds good.
Yep, go Cubs.
It was more than just a game.